John chapter 5, the claims of Yeshua. God the Father had used Yeshua to heal a man who had been an invalid for 38 years. After he healed him, Yeshua told him to pick up his mat and walk. Healing a man on the Sabbath and then telling him to carry a mat on the Sabbath was, according to the understanding of the Jewish leaders, a violation of the command against working on the Sabbath. That gave the Jewish leaders justification to persecute Yeshua. And so to defend himself, Yeshua made the most astonishing, the most astounding claims about himself to these Jewish leaders. Many people have made big claims about themselves. I understand the truth better than anybody else. I've discovered secret, hidden knowledge. I've attained enlightenment. I'm a messenger of God. I'm a prophet. I'm the Messiah. I'm a God. What makes Yeshua's claims about himself so special is that they are so amazing, so astounding, and they are true. And they give us some of the very clearest revelation about who Yeshua is, coming from Yeshua himself. Yeshua's first claim, starting in verse 17, John chapter 5. The law about not working on the Sabbath didn't even apply to him because he is equal to God the Father in nature and in authority. And he has the right to do what God does. In his defense, Yeshua said to them, these Jewish leaders who disliked him and are now actively persecuting him, "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working." Yeshua claimed that from the beginning of creation, God had been active, had been working on the Sabbath. He had been sustaining the universe on the Sabbath, ruling over the universe on the Sabbath, helping the world and its inhabitants on the Sabbath. If God ceased all work on the Sabbath, the universe might not be sustained. It might cease to exist. For 24 hours, it would not be ruled by God. It would become chaotic and unlivable. For 24 hours, human beings would not be given any divine help if God was not working on the Sabbath. God works on the Sabbath. And Yeshua claimed that the command about not working on the Sabbath didn't even apply to him because just as God the Father works on the Sabbath, so does he, Yeshua. Because he is the unique Son of God who shares the same divine nature and the same divine authority as God the Father. Wow. The Jewish leaders understood this claim. And their rejection of Yeshua intensified even further to the point they now wanted to kill him. John tells us for this reason they tried all the more to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, according to their understanding of breaking the Sabbath, which was wrong, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Yeshua is equal to God the Father in nature, because the Father and the Son share the same divine nature. Like the Father, the Son is divine, eternal, uncreated. He shares all the attributes of God. Yeshua is equal to God the Father in nature, and Yeshua is equal to God the Father in authority over everything that exists. The Son rules with the Father over the universe and everything in it, over all created beings, visible and invisible, and over all forces. However, within the Trinity, the Son is inferior to the Father in authority. Just as a human father is superior to his child in authority, so God the Father is superior to the Son in authority. The Father sits on the main throne in heaven. The Son sits at the Father's right hand. The Father commands and the Son obeys the command of the Father, never the other way around. Did the leaders really want to oppose someone who was greater than the law about not working on the Sabbath because he is equal to God in nature and in authority? Yeshua's first claim. Yeshua's second claim. He never operated on his own, independently. He was always being directed by God who loves him. Yeshua gave them this answer, "Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, and he will show him even greater works than these, so that you will be amazed." The best human beings see through a glass darkly. Yeshua claimed, unlike the rest of humanity, to have a view of God that was perfectly clear, unobstructed by sin. He was able to see what God the Father was doing all the time. And like a good son, he imitated what he saw his Father was doing all the time. Yeshua never operated on his own. He never operated independently from God the Father. Everything he did was directed by God the Father. If he healed a man on the Sabbath, it was because God showed him that that's what he wanted Yeshua to do. The Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. The Father loves the Son. There is love, perfect love, between the Father and the Son. Because the Father has that kind of love for Yeshua, the Father trusts Yeshua and shares all of his plans with Yeshua, and then the Son faithfully carries out those plans that God has showed him. Therefore, to oppose Yeshua, who is loved by God and who is carrying out the plans of God, is to oppose God and to oppose the plans of God. Did these leaders really want to oppose God and God's plans? Yeshua's third claim. He will do even greater things, like bringing dead people back to life and giving them eternal life. The Father loves the Son and shows him all he does, yes, and he will show him even greater works than these, so that you will be amazed. The Father had shown Yeshua a number of miracles, enabling Yeshua to do those miracles, including the Sabbath healing of the invalid by the pool of Bethesda. While those miracles were impressive, Yeshua claimed that God was going to allow Yeshua to do things which were much greater and even more amazing. Just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Yeshua claimed that in the future, God the Father will raise the dead and restore them to life. Yeshua claimed to have the same kind of authority and the same kind of ability to resurrect the dead and give life to those people who please him. Who are the people who please him? They certainly include those who become loyal to him. They do not include those who oppose him, persecute him, and displease him. Along with God the Father, Yeshua will share the responsibility for resurrecting mankind and giving eternal life to those who please him. Did these leaders not want to please him so that he would resurrect them and give them everlasting life? Yeshua's fourth claim, he alone will be the judge on the day of judgment. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. A day is coming when every human being will be judged. On the day of judgment, each man, each woman will give an account of their lives on earth, their actions, their thoughts, their words, their loyalty to God or their disloyalty. And they will be rewarded or they will be punished. They will be sent to hell or they will be allowed to live forever in the kingdom of God. The one before whom every human being will appear for judgment, not God the Father, but God the Son. The judgment of all of mankind is a responsibility given exclusively to Yeshua. Judges are entrusted with tremendous responsibility. They make decisions that revolve reward or punishment, sometimes life or death. Therefore, judges are to be honored. They should be especially honored by those who appear before them, lest they offend the judge. Yeshua claimed that the Father will allow him to judge all of mankind so that he will receive the same kind of honor that is reserved for God the Father. Did these leaders want to dishonor the one who will be their judge on the day of judgment? Someone God insists all of humanity honor. And the opposite is true. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. We want those we delegate to accomplish an important task to be honored. If they're not respected, it's an insult to the one who sent them to accomplish their task. Yeshua claimed that God the Father sent Yeshua to earth to accomplish a very important task, the redemption of humanity. Therefore, to dishonor Yeshua is to dishonor the Father who sent him. Did these leaders really want to dishonor God, who sent Yeshua to accomplish his very important task of saving humanity? Yeshua's fifth claim. The person who believes that God sent him and has faith in Yeshua and Yeshua's teachings will be pardoned and will live forever. Very truly, I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged. Judged in the sense of being condemned and then sent to hell. Whoever hears my word, believes him who sent me, has eternal life. He will not be judged. He has crossed over from death to life. Because humanity joined the rebellion of the fallen angels, we forfeited eternal life. God condemned humanity to death. The first death, physical death, followed by the second death. Prior to the arrival of Yeshua, God did make a way possible for the chosen people to gain temporary atonement, pardon, forgiveness, by having faith in God and the Word of God and offering the sacrifices at the temple. Temporary atonement. Temporary pardon. Yeshua claimed that with his arrival, ultimate atonement and eternal life was now available. Not by going to the temple and killing bulls, goats, lambs, rams, and pigeons in the presence of a descendant of Aaron, having the death sentence lifted and living forever was now only possible when a person became loyal to Yeshua and Yeshua's teachings and believed that Yeshua was sent by God, that Yeshua was God's emissary, God's representative, God's ambassador, God's prophet. Did these Jewish leaders want to be condemned? Did they want to experience the death penalty, the second death in Gehenna, hell, the lake of fire? Did they not want to cross over from the state of death that they were in to life and live forever? If so, they needed to believe that God sent Yeshua. They needed to have faith in Yeshua and his teachings. Yeshua's sixth claim. He will resurrect the dead in the future, and he gives spiritual life to people in the present. Very truly, I tell you, a time is coming and has now come in the present. A time is coming in the future and has now come in the present when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Yeshua claimed that a time is coming when every human being who lived and died will respond to his voice and be resurrected. He will call out, people will respond and rise from the dead. And he claimed that in a way that was already happening in the present. Those who were spiritually dead, who were hearing his voice and believing him and what he said, were coming alive spiritually. Did the Jewish leaders not want to experience spiritual life in the present, which is a real relationship with the living God? Did they not want to participate in the resurrection of the righteous that results in eternal life in the future? Yeshua's seventh claim. He has life in himself. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. All living things have a kind of life, a kind of life that is dependent on God, God who is the source of all life. God has a different kind of life. He has a unique kind of life, life that is eternal, life that is uncreated, life that is not dependent on the life of any other. Yeshua claimed that he has the same kind of life in himself, kind of life that God the Father has. What I find particularly interesting about this claim is the way Yeshua stated it, that God the Father granted to the Son to have life in himself. This life in himself kind of life that the Son shares with the Father comes as a grant from the Father to the Son. The one who gives the grant is greater than the one who receives the grant. So Yeshua claimed to be equal to God in nature and shared eternal, uncreated, life in himself kind of life, but inferior to the Father in authority because that life was a grant from the Father to the Son. Did these Jewish leaders want to oppose someone whom the Father granted to have life in himself? Yeshua's eighth claim, he's the perfect human being who will be humanity's judge. Yeshua claimed earlier that he alone would be mankind's judge, so that he would be honored by every human being. Here, he gave us another reason why God will allow him to be humanity's judge. And he, God the Father, has given him, God the Son, authority to judge because he is the Son of Man. When you appear before a judge, it's good to have a judge who is like you, who understands you and your situation. Yeshua claimed that God the Father, who is superior to him in authority, gave him exclusive authority to judge humanity because he is the Son of Man, the ideal human being, the perfect human being. Who better to judge humanity than a human being? A perfect human being who was wise and fair and just. Did the leaders want to oppose the ideal human being, the perfect human being whom God appointed to be their judge? Yeshua gave additional information about his previous claim to share the responsibility for the resurrection. Don't be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice, referring to his own voice, and will come out of their graves. Those who have done what is good will rise to live, and those who have done what is evil will rise to be condemned. Yeshua claimed that on the day when human beings are raised from death, his voice will be heard by billions of dead humans. He will call, and every person who has lived and died will respond to his voice, be resurrected, and then be judged by him. Those who have lived in a way that is acceptable to him will be rewarded with eternal life. Those who have lived in a way that is unacceptable to him will be condemned and sentenced to the second death in the lake of fire. Did the leaders really want to persecute the one who will call them back to life, raise them to life, judge them, and reward them with eternal life, or punish them with the fire of Gehenna? Yeshua's ninth claim is similar to the second one. He never acted independently from God. He was always motivated by the desire to please his Father. By myself, I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear. And my judgment is just. It's righteous, it's fair, it's right. Because I seek not to please myself, I seek to please him who sent me. When a man is motivated by self-interest, his judgment can become distorted. He might be unable to see beyond what is best for himself. Yeshua claimed he was never motivated by self-interest. He was always motivated by the desire to please the God who sent him to complete his mission of world redemption. Therefore, all his judgments were right. Every decision was just. Just as we see through a glass darkly, we hear through mufflers. We are unable to hear God clearly speaking to us. Everyone, that is, except Yeshua. Yeshua claimed that he was always able to hear God speaking to him in a very clear way. And what he heard God say, he always did. Nothing he ever did was done independently from first hearing from God and then doing what he heard. Did these leaders really want to oppose this servant of God who was only motivated by the desire to please God, who always heard God speaking clearly and then always did what God said and always made the right decisions that God wanted him to make? Yeshua made the most astounding, the most amazing claims about himself that I have ever heard anyone make about themselves. And you know what? I believe them. Every one of them. Yeshua claimed the command about not working on the Sabbath didn't apply to him because just as God works on the Sabbath, so does he, because he's the Son of God who shares the same divine nature and the same divine authority as God the Father. If you don't want to oppose the one who shares the nature and authority of God, you had better become loyal to Yeshua. Amen? Yeshua claimed he never operated on his own. He was always directed by God. If you don't want to go against someone who is constantly directed by God, you need to follow Yeshua. Yeshua claimed he had the same kind of authority and the same kind of ability to resurrect the dead and give life to the people who please him that God the Father has. If you don't want to offend someone who has the authority and the ability to bring you back to life and give you eternal life, you should please Yeshua. Yeshua claimed that the judgment of mankind is a responsibility given exclusively to him, not even shared with God the Father. If you want to get on the good side of your judge, you had better honor Yeshua. Yeshua claimed the person who believes that God sent him and has faith in Yeshua and Yeshua's teachings will be pardoned and live forever. If you want all your sins pardoned and the death sentence that's already been pronounced against you commuted, you had better place your faith in Yeshua. Yeshua claimed that he will resurrect the dead in the future, and he is able to give spiritual life to people now in the present. If you want spiritual life now in the present, a life-giving relationship with the living God, and if you want eternal life in the future, you must listen to Yeshua. Yeshua claimed he has the same kind of life, eternal life, uncreated life, life in himself kind of life that God the Father has. If you want to be united to someone who has life in himself, you need to join yourself to Yeshua. Yeshua claimed to never act independently from God because he was always motivated by the desire to please God, and therefore all of his decisions were right. If you want to act in unity with God and please God and make the right decisions, you need to become loyal to Yeshua. As far as I know, these are the most astonishing claims any human being has ever made about himself. If they are true, we must believe them. We must accept Yeshua as the Messiah, as the Son of God, as the living Lord. If these claims are not true, we must reject them. We must reject Yeshua as being a liar or a lunatic. Lord, liar, or lunatic. How can we know these claims that Yeshua made about himself are true? Yeshua told us how we can know. By knowing the testimony of four reliable witnesses. I'm just going to briefly go through them. We won't have time to really go in depth and analyze them this morning, but I do want to mention these four reliable witnesses that help us know the claims about Yeshua that he made about himself are true. If I testify about myself, my testimony is not true. Not that what Yeshua said is wrong, but his testimony is insufficient. Because according to Torah, two or three witnesses are needed for confirmation of an important matter like this. Not just one witness. If I testify about myself, my testimony is insufficient. So he gives us four witnesses. Witness number one, the greatest man who ever lived, who was a prophet, who was more than a prophet. There's another who testifies in my favor, and I know that his testimony about me is true. You have sent a John, and he has testified to the truth. Testimony of the greatest man who ever lived, who was a prophet and more than a prophet. Witness number two, Yeshua's miracles. I have testimony weightier than that of John. The works, the miracles that the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I am doing testify that the Father has sent me. Ordinary human beings do not do miracles. Generally, God will only allow someone who is very close to him and approved by him to do a miracle. Yeshua's miracles testify that he was close to God and approved by God. Witness number three, God the Father himself. The Father who sent me has himself testified concerning me. Especially at Yeshua's baptism, where the voice of God was heard. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. It's rare when God speaks. Witness number three, the testimony of God the Father. Witness number four, the Word of God. You study the Scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very Scriptures that testify about me. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life. The Scriptures, the holy writings, are all about Yeshua. Even the passage from today, Dave, where Yeshua fulfills the red cow sacrifice and the priests who themselves become defiled in the same way that Yeshua took upon himself the defilement of humanity to make us free and clean from our sins. The Scriptures are all about Yeshua. Indirect prophecies like the red cow sacrifice, Jacob's ladder, the bronze snake that was lifted up in the wilderness, and direct prophecies like Isaiah 53. You study the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. They testify about me. Yeshua's claims about himself are true. We can know that because of what John said, because of what God the Father said, because of what the Word of God says, and because of what the miracles of Yeshua communicate to us. Yeshua is so true, so real, so alive, so special, so important, so necessary. May we and our Christian and Messianic Jewish brothers and sisters everywhere have faith in him, be loyal to him, be focused on him, keenly aware of him, close to him, filled with his Spirit, constantly receiving power from him, learning from him, directed by him. May we be passionate about him and carrying on his task of world evangelism, teaching, and good deeds. Amen.